A veteran politician I spoke to yesterday said, all the work has been done, but this is the time where the butterflies really flutter around the stomach. It'll be interesting to find out how another veteran, although he's still very young, Muzi Maimane, is feeling right now with the election a week away. Hey Muzi, lovely talking with you again. We've been following your journey on BizNews for a while. I must say that a lot of what I'm reading in the media is confusing right now, including what is coming out of the pollsters. But we're trying to get to the truth or try and get some kind of an understanding ahead of next Wednesday's big vote here in South Africa on the 29th of May. Maybe just give us an update from your side, because you're starting slightly to show up in the polls, Boza is, but not really with the kind of significance that would be justifying the amount of work you've been putting in over the past year or so.
Yeah, and I mean, there are many things that when I look at, particularly some of the polls that have come out, that when I look at them, even I find it at times hard to believe. The hard yards that we've got to do is, obviously, we're competing in a very congested space. You're asking South Africans who historically had been aligned to the ANC to make a different choice. And I often find, a bit like in the US elections, from time to time, when South Africa, when people are getting themselves ready to move what is typically conventional, often polls can't pick that up. And that's why sometimes polling missed the election of President Trump. And my impression of it is that as I'm going on the ground and seeing South Africans, it is hard to believe that that is reflected in the current polling thing. And as we're starting to tick up the polls, for us, we kind of look at what trends look like. The first is we needed to ensure that South Africans, when asked and confronted, could identify Bosa, which was important because you'll remember when I think we last spoke, the hard work that we had to do was to link Muzi Maimane and Bosa. And I think that work has begun to happen more. Secondly, I think our message of a job in every home, I hear on radio shows, interviews, people are asking the correct question, which is to say, if you say this, a job in every home, how do you do it? Because it's important in an election campaign that you hold a message that people can resonate with. Even if they are critical of it, it has to be memorable enough for people to consider it. So I'm feeling myself quite buoyed. And I think these elections are going to surprise many South Africans. I really believe so. So for me, the two bellwether, or at least the two trend lines, is that the ANC is not getting above 50%, and there's a upsurge or a new uptake of new political parties that are coming forward.
So help me out a little bit here. I did some looking back on the recent 2021 by-elections, where the ANC came in around 47%. So it's now already below 50%. Since 2021, if anything, it would not have been in the ANC's favor, although that was a very low poll at below 50% of the people even bothered to vote at that stage. Now we've got lots of interest in this election. We saw from those who voted in London that they went around the block a couple of times to, some of them took 3-4 hours to get to cast their vote. But there is interest here as well. And the 10 million voters plus who stayed away from the last election, certainly a large percentage of them would be coming in. So I'm just trying to work out in my mind, if the ANC was in a downward slide, why would the new voters come back and then vote for the ANC? You're a political veteran. You're an insider. You know how these things work. And you know also what your opposition or your competitors in the current ruling party will be thinking. But where does this collate with 47% in the most recent election? And now, despite a difficult time since then, being quite convinced that you're still going to get 50% plus.
Yeah. So there are a couple of things. The first thing is this, whichever poll you look at, the number of voters who are undecided are high for 7 days before an election, right? On the eve of an election. So it means that those voters are undecided about status quo. And that's a real positive in our democracy, because it means that when you increase turnout, those people aren't turning out to come and affirm status quo. They are turning out to say we need change, and will bake their choices as to what that change looks like. We think we've got a favorable rating amongst those voters, right, who are disillusioned with the past, thinking about the future, and are coming on board to say, what do we need to do now? So that's the, that. And the second thing is, elections often are fought on the ground. It's tempting to look at sentiment online, et cetera, and think that that will give you a bellwether about what's going to happen. Actually, get on the ground, get on to see where people are at. And so for example, to use MK as an example, it's overbaked in the polls, in my humble opinion. It's, you know, people put it, but actually when you put it in the high tens or like more than 10%, but actually when you go on the ground, and you go to communities, you realize there's no structures, there's no mechanism to be able to move voters from home to the polls. There's none of that. So yes, they can have a big rally, but elections are about building infrastructure in many micro communities so that in every VD, in or voting district, in every community, you can pull people out. So that to me tells me that we're living in a time of great unknowns, which for someone like me is exciting. And I think for South Africa, it's a huge prospect, because I think there can be an inbuilt fear that says that, well, actually, the ANC at over 50% may be the better devil, as it were. I fundamentally disagree with that view. And I think that the best way we can approach this is to say, how does a grand coalition of the opposition work together to unseat the current government, select the best cabinet of various individuals within those political parties? And even if some of the parties are not formal members of the coalition, but they could certainly say, we'll use our votes to elect a speaker, a president, or a pass a budget. I think that's a powerful opportunity for us to see change in this country. I without putting too much, I don't bake fear, but I want to almost say that if we don't get it right now, another 5 years of ANC government is going to create a sense upon which amongst voters is that regardless of the moment, regardless of the flaws of the ANC, there can be no accountability at the polls. And then you end up in a scenario where people don't believe democracy is the best way for things to change. And I think this is an important moment.
As I mentioned at the outset, we've been following your story over the past couple of years quite closely. I recall you coming into the studio in Bryanston from Limpopo, where you'd been working on the ground. How's that effort paying off?
Incredibly. You know, I can look at this last weekend. You talk about overseas voting rally, voting patterns, right? Just this last weekend alone, Bosa was able to hold a rally, a sizable rally in Limpopo, in Welkom, in Potchefstroom, all at the same time with crowds of over 2,000 at each of those. Now, to build the machinery to be able to achieve that takes you having spent time in multiple communities and been able to build the leadership capability and inviting communities to come on board. That's just one weekend. And I can tell you, every single day, there are Bosa champions going to communities after communities, literally inviting citizens to our message of let's build one South Africa. Together we can put a job in every home and educate our kids. South Africans are hearing it. So to me, I'm actually feeling, as a reflection of not only the candidates we've been able to get from those communities, as you say, I was in Limpopo, there were many candidates, independent candidates that we're working with. We've got a caliber of candidates who are located in their communities. We've also found we've been able to quickly spread across the country and also attract diversity. Because when you give power back to the people, they give you the diversity. Whereas if you say to yourself as a political party, we're going to pre-select our list and tell people who to vote for, you run the risk of them not feeling empowered to be able to contribute to that. So regardless of the outcome, let me say this categorically. Bosa is an established force. We have presence across the country, and we have infrastructure to build, not only for these elections, but for the future. And I feel we've thrown everything at this, including the kitchen sink, And so I to achieve that is remarkable for a party that's less than 18 months old.
So there is a lot more to getting a good election result than just getting lots of publicity and your face in front of people, as you've explained to us. How are you seeing the outcome for Boza and indeed for other parties right now, as you sit here right now? You've always been one who kind of tells me straight. So give me a sense of how you're seeing it now with a week to go.
With a week to go, I think what's now critical is, you know, is who has been able to build the correct infrastructure. So when I look at some of the new parties that have started, to use a war metaphor, you have an air war campaign and a ground war campaign. So your air war might be good in that people hear from you online, etc. But your ground war might be weak, which means that you can't turn people out. And so I think there'll be a lot of money spent on new parties that you'll find the dividend isn't quite there, in essence. I think you'll also equally find, I think to me, the ANC is overbaked. I really think that the ANC are in trouble. If I was having sleepless nights, it would be President Ramaphosa, because a sub-50 result for him is the end of his job. I think the unknown variable is what will happen with parties like the Freedom Front Plus and us and all of them. I think that the Freedom Front Plus has gone out and done some work on the ground that I've been witness to. And I think as the DA itself is starting to produce communication that's not helpful for South Africa, you know, things like burning the flag and a message that really I'm not sure we can all understand, I think the beneficiary of that may be the Freedom Front Plus. So when I think about Bossa, I think we've done the work. We've done the work to get enough seats to get into parliament, to be a significant force. And I'm working hard at saying we've got to at least get into double-digit number of seats. That's my goal.
And what percentage of the vote would that be?
Well, we've wanted to go for about 2-5% of the vote, and that'll be a significant shift in terms of what we do. And I think with 7 days to go, that is looking more and more possible. And the recent polls that have shown us, you know, you've got to increase turnout, you've got to do all of that. They put us above, even in certain provinces, you know, like we were the fourth biggest party in the Western Cape. In Gauteng, we're growing. In KZN, we're growing, even in the recent polls. So provincially, we're starting to get a good feel for what's going on. And now we've got to aggregate that to get onto the national poll.
You've got a really good team around you, Musi. I've met a couple of your candidates who are going to be in Parliament next year. Do you think it's going to be a different Parliament post May 29th? Obviously, there'll be different constituents, but more vibrant, more cerebral maybe, higher level of debate, etc. I know you guys will be doing your bit to try and assist that, but it's almost like when you look across all political parties, not just yours, there does appear to be more interest now from people who in the past were not even interested in politics, but perhaps now do see that they can make a difference.
You know, maybe as a person of faith, but also as one who's observed enough elections, this election feels like a transition. You get a sense, even when looking at the ANC's list, that if they reject the idea of introducing new, fresh faces to the political campaign, and I think it's told you everything in the fact that the ANC has had to dig into its ancestry, as it were, to campaign, to bring out people like President Mbeki, Mutlante, tells you that they're not future-looking. And I think the ANC won't just suffer only for corruption, suffer for lack of governance, but it will suffer because it's now looking backwards. I think what's become exciting for me is that you'll begin to see that in the next while, the old parties will become more and more irrelevant in the discussions. And I think the new in the next parliament will begin to introduce new ideas. I long for the day where actually the debates in parliament aren't individualized in that we're discussing Jacob Zuma or Palapala or acts of corruption. But really, we could come around to debates about, hey, how do we stimulate our economy so that we can get jobs everywhere? And, you know, what is the debate around Transnet? What is the debate around Eskom? And I really do think with a fresh blood that is coming into Parliament, I think the discussions are going to be different. So when I talk about this transition, I really get a sense that no one wants to go back to be discussing Zuma, Ramaphosa, and aging leadership. When I speak to all the fresh new parties, there's a genuine sense upon which they want to talk about the issues in South Africa. Let's talk about building. They want to talk about that. So it's going to be exciting. I also do think it might be a younger parliament. So the rules are going to have to be interestingly put together. And whatever the configuration of government is, when you don't have an outright majority in parliament, it means that gone will be the days where you could be protected by a vote. So that if a president arrives in parliament and spews off nonsense and then asks people to vote on that nonsense, that people could endorse it by using the majority. Whereas now you could find a space where genuinely, if the House collectively feels that you're not answering the question, I think it's going to be a tough journey for the president, because they know that if a motion of no confidence were to be triggered, they're not guaranteed an outright majority. So that for me is exciting. And I think it will restore the role of parliament, not as an oversight body only, but a really account, a body as the apex of accountability, so that the executive will fear parliament. Because the last terms, the executive did not fear parliament. You could, even in answering a question, you would literally read out of your favorite magazine, and that would suffice as an answer. Whereas now those days are far gone.
Is there a small part of you that wishes you could turn the clock back? There certainly are many South Africans who say, well, if only Muzi was the face of the DA, it might be a very different election that we'd be going into.
You know, as I just launched a new book called Dare to Believe, and in there I speak at length about why I could not stay in the DA. And, you know, in turning the clock back, you know, at some level, yes, sure, there are things I regret about all of that took place, because some of it was personal, some of it was, you know, and sometimes I fear that politics can allow the personal to sacrifice the very purpose of a country in that way. And so that for me is something that I always want to say, given the opportunity to fix, I'll never be able to put what is personal to sacrifice what is in fact of public interest. So that's been a big lesson for me. But the second issue is, I don't say this to be dramatic, but I say this genuinely. I'm grateful to be here now. And I've written a book about the fact that ideologically, the DA has really become, in some ways, a minority party, a fight-back organization. And I think we've got to, for the purpose of my kids and future generations, build what is new South African, build what is something that will ultimately enhance the interests of this country in future generations to come. So yeah, it came at a massive price, but we had to do it. But because we also have a proportional representative system, I want to say to South Africans, if they vote for Bosa, this isn't to say we will not work with the DA. It just means that the votes the DA could not get, we could bring in partnership so that we could deliver a change. So in many ways, the opportunity may be better positioned now, in that going into this election, if there were South Africans who said, I don't fully trust the DA, so they don't have to feel that all of their votes now have to go, and regardless of the face of the organization, they could really come through and say, I'm going to vote for Bosa, and I'm not trying to bring the DA via the back door or anything like that. I'm just simply saying, for the center ground of South Africa, there must be a home for those South Africans. And when we build this grand coalition of the opposition that I've been speaking about, is that it gives you an opportunity to say, can we collectively work together for the future? And I'm privileged in this sense, not only in the diversity of language, but the sense of being able to be relatable to all the leaders of political parties. And I can pick up the phone on any given day and speak to Peter Groenewald, or speak to Julius Malema, or speak to Bantu Holomisa, or the ACDP, or Herman Mashaba, whoever, because each of them, I have given the due respect and they've returned in kind, and I've given the sense upon which we could work together to build South Africa. So I feel, had I just remained in the DA, that opportunity could become less given some of the politics that were taking place there. I think now we've got the best chance to be able to bring a coalition of the opposition together now.
You didn't mention Gayton McKenzie. Can you sit around the same fire with him?
No, Gayton and I was with him last week, about just 2 weeks ago. I know him. I've spoken to him. We have a relationship, and he understands the nature of the project that we engaged with. So I despite all the noise, the trick about coalition building is in some ways not to be moralistic about it, because there are good people and there are bad people in all organizations, naturally. The trick is to be clear on vision and committed to that and ask people to work towards that on a regular basis. That's the trick. And therefore, if we can agree that we can eradicate corruption, that's an important landmark to put on the table, and everyone must sign up to that. If we can agree that this is about the economy, stupid, as the famous saying is, that we're going to put a job in every home, let's focus on that, fix Eskom, do all of those things. And so we've put a plan together, and I would be willing to sit down with Gayton and say to him, well, here's the 10-point plan. We're not here to discuss anything else. That's what we got to focus on. And it would be the same for Bantu Olomisa, Peter Groenewald, Reverend Mishwe, anyone else who'd end up in Parliament for that matter. We've got to say to ourselves, what is the plan that we're working towards? Because the greatest mistake we could make would be to form a coalition, govern, and do so worse than the ANC. So, you will then reverse the fortunes of this country by tenfold at the next election.
Muzi Maimane, the leader of BOSA, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.